What's up? 9 to noon, Minnesota Vikings minicamp, Winter Park, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Ben Lieber, a former linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings, joins us now into the second hour. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, PA. How you doing, man?
Good, thank you. We are now joined by Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman from the exclusive Wilf Perch. Hello, Mr. Spielman.
Thanks for having me on again today.
No problem. Final day of minicamp from the exclusive Wilf Perch. How much time outside of this radio show do you spend on the exclusive Wilf Perch?
Only on the radio show.
Is that it?
Yep,
that's it. Is this
it.
The most underutilized cool perch in the history of the world?
I would say it's underutilized. I'm sure there's some cooler perches around.
Mr. Spielman, I understand you have some cool people coming by minicamp today to honor some people and stuff.
Yeah, we have a special guest today. Josh Benson and his family are coming out. He's going to be a senior at Finlayson High School.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a serious ATV accident. He actually had pushed his girlfriend off the back of the ATV and ran into a tree and is now paralyzed.
Jeez.
So, but he was a Courage Award winner at the National Football Foundation banquet we sponsored a few weeks ago. So we just want to have him and his family come out and honor him for
nice touch
for what he's done.
Gets to watch practice and everything?
Yeah, he'll get to watch practice, and we'll have a few little surprises for him.
Sweet. Good for you.
Yeah, you guys going to swag him out with all sorts of stuff? Hats, pants, shorts.
Nah, we're not going to swag him, but we'll have a couple things for him.
Tinted visors,
yeah.
Like everybody else. Shiny visors. Are they shiny? I heard they're shiny, right?
Yeah, that's a futuristic look
yeah.
right now. So it's, I think it's something our players are kind of having fun with, but they know, I know Coach Zimmer addressed it, that during the regular season, what's all serious in business, we know what we need to wear and don't wear.
Yeah, because it's doctor approved only, right?
Correct. You have to have medical clearance to have a tinted visor.
PA, I think I talked to you about this earlier. Mm. This gentleman sitting in between us is one heck of a golfer.
Oh, jeez.
Really?
So we go out to the Vikings Children's Fund golf outing. We
yeah.
get paired together. We're riding in the cart together. And he's like, I get out like a couple times a year. This guy's lacing it down the middle like 300 yards off the tee. And I'm like, you get out like twice or three times a year?
Well, I was trying to explain to Ben, just be an athlete. That's all you have
I know,
to
well,
do.
I know nothing about that.
But we had a good time. It was for a
we
great
a good
cause.
Time.
We had a good group of guys. Had a beautiful day, and it was very enjoyable playing with Ben Lieber in that golf tournament.
Well, see, he's the general manager of a National Football League
he's
team.
Not very good, but it was still enjoyable.
Yeah. The art of deception is what he lives
yeah.
off of. I mean, like, you know, up to the draft, you know, when I'm talking on the fan previewing the draft and stuff like that, I just talk about how excited he is. He starts thinking about making trades at the end of the previous season. The man's obsessed with making trades in the art of deception. Has that always been part of your demeanor, or is it like new?
No, it's just
it's your job.
It's the job.
But you have to concede the adrenaline of the first round of the draft in that room with the way things are falling. That is absolutely one of the year's highlights, right?
It's the favorite time of year besides on Sundays when we're playing on Sundays. But it's not only that Thursday night. It's Friday night. It's mm-hmm. Saturday. It's right after the draft. The adrenaline's flowing, trying to sign college free agents and competing against other teams. So
yep.
it's just a whole weekend because that is the last opportunity you have to make significant moves to help improve your roster.
Last time we chatted from the exclusive Brzezinski Perch, you had mentioned the night before you had been at an Eden Prairie lacrosse game, a postseason game. How did that whole thing finish?
Eden Prairie ended up third this year. They lost in overtime to White Bear Lake, and White Bear Lake, congratulations to them. They had a heck of a team.
Really?
They lost. Eden Prairie lost to them in overtime in the semifinals, and White Bear Lake went on to beat Bloomington Jefferson for the state title this year. But it was well deserved. Well,
was it controversial? Team. Was it a controversial?
No,
finish?
It was a very, very physical, very well executed game, and it was from a fan standpoint, it was a fun game to watch.
That's your son JD, right?
Correct.
Is he lacrosse or football guy when he goes to college?
Right
is that
now,
a big Spielman household talker?
No, it's not. He wants to play football, so there's not much to talk about.
Oh, sweet. So he'll play Division I football for a pretty good school, right?
If he's fortunate enough, he has some offers out there now. So,
sweet.
You know,
offensive kid, right?
He plays offense, defense, returner, so he does a lot of different things.
Yeah, I guess you got to do all three in high school, right?
Holy cow.
But I will say Mike Grant's program over there and the talent they have that they bring through year in and year out,
mm-hmm.
the number of kids they have, it's, you know, they play offense or defense. I know they split their practices up over there on two separate fields to get ready for games. It's quite a program, and they do a great job working with those young kids.
It was like that for you in South Dakota, right, Ben? You had two separate pastures for offense and defense.
Yes, that's pretty much what it was. And we had to deal with all the crabgrass and the thorns, and it was very much like what's the movie? The
Blind Side?
No, I'm blanking. The Strong Side, Weak Side whole thing.
Hey, speaking of Eden Prairie High School football, you have a feel of that on your team now with offensive lineman Carter Bykowski.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to pick him up off of San Francisco's practice squad at the end of last season, and he's came in, he's done a great job, you know, just like we're doing with all our guys. We're putting him in different positions right now, and this is the time of year to do that. So when we head down into training camp, the coaches can really hone in on where they want them to focus. And as you've read through the papers and with the speculation out there, we've had four or five different combinations of guard, tackle, and the one thing, safety. But the one thing we're looking at, guys that can play multiple positions, because that has value when you only have 46 men up for on game days on Sunday, especially up at the offensive line.
Vikings general manager Rick Spielman at Vikings minicamp, Paul Allen and Ben Lieber.
So the one guy I wanted to ask you about, talking about the versatility, was Trey Waynes has been moved into the nickel position. Coach Zimmer said that, you know, same thing that you were saying. We want to see what these guys can do, because if we don't, then we're doing a disservice to their skill level and their talent. How's he been at the nickel position here at camp?
I think he's been very – the athletic part is a given, just the way he moves around, his speed, his cover ability. What the coaches really like to do is stress these guys mentally, see how much they can handle, not only from what they can do physically at those different positions, but how much, because that nickel is a whole different animal on what you have to learn with the coverages, and that's a pretty complicated position because of so much going on. But the coaches can really put them in stressful situations from a mental standpoint to see how quickly they can pick up and learn it, and then we have a pretty good idea as we head into training camp.
Certainly not to disparage anybody who's been here or where you've been throughout multiple decades working in this game, but the cohesion and relationship between you and Mike Zimmer, it has to be as good as you've ever had, right?
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of great relationships with coaches throughout my career, but I think there's just something unique about Coach Zimmer and how he handles not only this football team but everyone else in the building. He's a very unique individual, very intense, very passionate, but a very good person too. And to be on the same page from top to bottom in this organization and everybody going in the same direction, we're very excited about where we're headed.
Is there an organizational approach or something that you will preach following today about the next 5 weeks? In other words, guys, see you in 5 weeks and change a training camp, but make sure you do this.
Yeah, Coach Zimmer addressed that in the team meeting today, just talking about what you have to do to get prepared to come back to training camp. These guys, I know they're away from the building the next 5 weeks. They get an opportunity to go home, recover a little bit from this offseason, but also I know these guys are going to go home and start preparing to get ready for training camp. We don't want guys coming back, taking 5 weeks off, and starting from, you know, ground zero again. We started that at the beginning of the off season, and we've built up to where we are now. And I think we have a great group of guys that are going to continue to work and get prepared for what's ahead of next in the training camp when we have to go down to Mankato.
All right, so when you guys get to Mankato here in 5 weeks, what do you personally look to see from the team in the first few days?
You know, it's a process, you know, because you have the meetings the first day, then you're back into OTA sessions, you know, with the shells on. You have walkthroughs in the mornings, and then you have the shell practices in the afternoons. But I think everybody's excited to see when we get in the pads. And, you know, that first week of pads, guys are getting used to getting back into that place.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And guys are going to be sore, and they're going to bang heads a little bit. And, you know, Coach Zimmer's always preaching smart, tough, passionate. We're going to have another physical camp, but it's going to be a very competitive camp at a lot of positions. There's a lot of guys that are fighting for roster spots, fighting for play time, fighting for starting jobs. And I think with the youth and the draft over the last couple of years and some of the additions that we've been able to add, that it may be our most competitive camp we've had in a while down there.
Are you, I know you guys don't do complete satisfaction until you win a Super Bowl, but are you happy with what you have now, with what you have assembled now? You got like 90 here. It's going to get to 53, then the practice squad. When you look out here at these fields from the Wilf perch, are you happy with what you've assembled?
I would say we're excited about the progress we're making. We're not there, you know, yet. We still have a lot of work to do, but we're also still monitoring the waiver wire every day. We're also, you know, anytime you can add another player that maybe makes your team that much better, we're going to always look and potentially add to do that. So it never ends, or, you know, as you said, like in the song, satisfaction, isn't that a song?
Mm-hmm.
But
we can't get none. Can't get no satisfaction.
That's the we're never satisfied. We have to be on our personnel side with George Payton, Scott Studwell, Ryan Munnins, and our scouts. Their job is to continually look to turn this roster over, and we have to do that on a daily basis.
Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, Ben Lieber, former Vikings linebacker, Paul Allen from Winter Park. When we return, we'll ask Rick about what it's like having Adrian Peterson back, and also we'll talk about some of these rookies he drafted in the 2015 draft. It's 9 to noon. 9 to noon radio, final day of Vikings minicamp. Ben Lieber, general manager Rick Spielman, and Paul Allen with you from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, on the exclusive Wilf Family Perch. It's 10:18. Good morning. What has it been like having Adrian Peterson back?
We're very excited, just as a whole organization, to have Adrian Peterson back with us. I think he's worked extremely hard since he's been back. You can tell just the speed of the game, and when you get the ball in his hands, what a unique athlete, what a unique player he is. So I know our coaches are very excited about it, and our whole team is very excited to have him back. And just to see him go out and interact at the school, and he went out, played the whole golf tournament at the our Vikings Children's Fund tournament and interacting with the fans and stuff.
It's, can he golf?
Nah, he runs the ball a lot better. It's hard to say, but Ben is actually a better golfer than Adrian.
Wow, that's
Ben,
saying a lot.
Can you crack 100?
I can crack 100. I can crack 100, but I lost like, what, 9 balls, I think, that day? Yeah.
Is the general manager like 75 to 82 kind of guy?
Oh, God, no. No, I'm 95 to 100.
Well, I know you play exclusively at Bear Path.
No.
What are you talking about?
I play where I can get an opportunity to go out.
Yeah,
and
you don't have much time to play, do you?
He plays for free, wherever that's at, wherever I can get on for
things
free.
Things are a little tight at the Spielman house right now. I'm just trying to barely make it.
Of course they are. How do your picks look? We talked a little bit about Trey Waynes. What about Eric Kendricks?
Eric Kendricks is really showing up athletically. I know he made a couple plays in the passing game even yesterday. He had an interception off a tip ball. I think he had 2 or 3 pass breakups when he's dropping in zone. He has a unique skill set and unique instincts from that position. The biggest thing we're excited about is you see him and how he reacts to the run game. But we haven't yet to see him with when the pads come on, and when these guys, and Ben can attest to this, when they come and start grabbing you and holding you and coming up and butting you, that's the part we're anxious to see when we get down into training camp.
Did he have a lot of that in college where he'd run downhill and smack a guard or smack a fullback?
Yeah, for a guy his size, he has that hip explosion that he can uncoil into blockers, but he has very good quickness and excellent instincts where even when you're watching him out here and getting over top of the trash as he works away from the backside, his range to get to the sideline on outside run type plays, those things all show up, and we saw that in college as well. The biggest thing is I know the type of offensive lineman that you're going to have to play at this level is a little different than some of the guys that you're going to be playing at college. So we're very excited about seeing him in pads and if he can continue to maintain where he's headed.
When you evaluate, let's stick on Kendricks. Is it all just about the end result? And I want to continue with like
my brother told me that. He said, "I don't care how fast I run, I just want to tell me the results."
Well, right. So like we're all waiting to see how he does in camp with the pads on. Does it matter to you that he slips a block, maybe backside, does something that he's not supposed to, but he makes the tackle, or do you want to see him run through a guy and then get the tackle?
I know if he's going to slip backside of blocks, he's going to get his rear end chewed by the coaches pretty good because there's a method to the madness on his system.
This is too hardcore. What does all of this mean?
Well, basically, if he's like, let's say he's scraping to the right and he's got that A gap there to the right and the guy comes up onto him, do you want to see the guy just bull over the blocker and then makes the tackle, or you let him run by, slip backside, which now you're giving up a gap, you're exposing the defense. But if you're athletic enough and still make the play, is it all just about the end result, or does everything in between have to matter?
He made a lot of plays like that in college just because he's so instinctive, but up here the speed of the game is so much different. And if you have two guys on the backside A and he's supposed to be on the front side A gap, and that gap opens up and that running back splits to the secondary, he doesn't make that play, he's going to have to come and talk to Coach Zimmer on the sideline.
But that's what makes football the ultimate team game. I mean, even in that media session we had with the head coach where he went through like 20 to 25 plays, there were defensive plays we watched where, without mentioning names because that was part of the deal, 10 guys did it right, one guy did it wrong, it was a 30-yard gain.
Right.
So it's like, good, oh my God, why are you there? Right. And then there goes somebody on a reverse.
Everybody has an assignment or a gap assignment each play. So as they react to the play on the offense, if they're not doing their assignment, technically that could be a weak link in the defense. And like you said, 10 guys can do the right thing, and that one guy that didn't do the right thing gets exposed, or the athletes that we have to play at this level take advantage of that. It could result into a big play.
And conversely, on offense, the good running backs, when you talk about vision, they'll see that weak link, and they'll see that vulnerability, and that's when they'll make the big play.
Yeah. Rick Spielman, general manager of the Vikings, former linebacker Ben Lieber, Paul Allen, final day of minicamp. Vikings are out there practicing now. Then they shut it down for 5 weeks and change, and then we reconvene in Mankato. Another rookie. I haven't chatted about him at all in the offseason. Louisville defensive end B.J. DuBose. What has his offseason been like? And why I bring it up is because, from a defensive line rotation standpoint, it's very, very important to coaches and extremely important to Mike Zimmer. You know, and after Robinson and Griffin, you've talked about Crichton. You have Daniil Hunter, who's very raw and very young but very talented. And you got B.J. DuBose in there, too. Does he have a chance?
Oh, yeah. And, again, that's a guy that played defensive end in college that we kind of projected, and he did some of it in college in nickel situations, projected down to the three technique or the defensive tackle position. The one thing that has stuck out to him, about him as you sit there and watch is what we call heavy hands. And that's when he snaps his hip into the blocker in front of him and shocks him with their hands. And some guys are light-handed. Some guys, when they hit you, they really jolt you with their hands. And he has that capability to do that. So there's another young guy, and whether he works into the rotation this year or if he continues to develop, that'll yet to be determined. But also very excited to see what he does down in Mankato.
And with your receivers, I'm going to put Stephon Diggs out of it because he hasn't played a pro game, although by all accounts he's looked extremely good this offseason. With Mike Wallace, Charles Johnson, Cordero Patterson, and Jarius Wright,
Don't forget Adam Thielen.
Well, I'm just going to use those four now. It can be argued that with that quartet, you have the fastest quartet of receivers in the NFL. I mean, straight line running. Was that by design?
Well, you know, the one thing that we wanted to emphasize, and as we build this roster for this system under Norv, speed is a huge factor for this offense to be successful. And everywhere Norv has had success was speed at that position. So I would say those four guys have unique speed and ability to stretch the defense, ability to beat one-on-one coverage. And a lot of things when you're sitting there watching the tape, if they're in a man coverage situation with a corner and they're able to separate out of their cut, and as they extend down the field or they extend across the field, can they pull away from that corner?
Yeah.
And I think all those guys have that capability to create that separation as they get out of their cuts or if they get in a foot race down the field.
Well, when you put those numbers together to get your final 53, I mean, you're going to have – yearly you have some very difficult decisions. This year there seem to be some groupings that are going to be a little more difficult than usual. For me, put Thielen and Diggs in the four I just mentioned, and personally I think you're square there. From a tight end standpoint, as difficult, I think in my 13 years of calling Vikings football, this may be the most uniquely designed deep tight end group that I've ever seen.
Yeah, and with Kyle Rudolph and Rhett Ellison and Chase Ford, everybody knows what Chase Ford has been able to do for us in the passing game. And then
Pruitt.
Adding Pruitt this year and watching him and his ability. And he is another very good athlete. He ran four fives coming out. You see that speed, and can you create a mismatch with him when a linebacker's covering him in man situations? And does he have the ability to separate? The one thing that stuck out about him, even though we're not in pads and making contact, is his body built and how thick he is through the lower, that he can not only play tight end, but you can move him out in a slot. We've had to move him out, removed to the farthest outside guy in a formation. We've put him at H-back. He can probably play some fullback-type stuff. So he has a lot of ability to play a lot of multiple positions for this offense.
And when you were at the combine, you brought in Brandon Bostic. You know, no guarantee he makes the team, but still.
No, and there's another, again, I hate to be repetitive, but athletic player.
Yeah, and he's played a lot of NFL games.
And he's played well on special teams. And a lot of these guys that are battling for roster spots are not only battling for play time on the offense or defensive side, they better be able to play special teams, because in order for you to be up on active on game day, if you're not a starter, you better be a pretty good special team player.
Is that going to be the true separator for those guys in the tight end room?
I think the linebacker, the DB room, you know, even some of the receivers. I mean, last year, what separated Adam Thielen, not only did he really develop as a receiver, but he became one of our core special teams players. So guys that may be active or inactive will depend on how they can contribute and help us win games on special teams.
Through organized team activities and minicamp, again, without pads on, but he's a veteran. He had 10 touchdowns last year. What's impressive about Mike Wallace, branded as a 4-3 straight line kind of guy, 9 of his 10 touchdowns last year were inside the 20. What have you liked about Mike through this part of the offseason?
I think just his attitude that he came in with. And he's really came in with a chip on his shoulder and wants to prove people that he is a premier receiver in this league. And, you know, the speed is evident when you sit there and watch him practice. But it's his attitude, his work ethic, the type of leadership for a new guy coming into a new team. He's really started to take a leadership role, and guys are starting to gravitate to him. And they gravitate to him because of how hard he works, not only on the field, but getting in the playbook, how hard he's working in the weight room. And those are the guys that that you want on your football team.
Last two for the general manager. Go ahead, Ben.
Is he a vocal leader, or is he just a lead-by-example type of guy?
Oh, he has a little vocal to him. He has some personality to him. And it's just like, you know, when you watch these UFA come in, and even Ben, when you came in, the more comfortable you get around the guys, the more you start hanging around with them, the more your personality starts to come out. And you can definitely see the personality starting to come out in Mike.
Chatted with the head coach a little bit in closing about Anthony Barr and the health-related situations he's had this offseason, and he's starting to get going now a little bit. Do you have any long-term concerns
None.
With him?
None.
Okay, well, that's obviously a major key, right?
Yeah. No, he's a very good player for us, and
good.
We're expecting some big things from him this year, but have no concerns about going forward with his health.
Enjoy your downtime.
Thank you.
We'll see you in Mankato, okay?
I appreciate it.
Yep. Don't call me for golf.
Thanks.
Yeah, I won't.
Thanks for being.
I don't want to embarrass myself.
Thanks for being so accessible for the radio show this offseason.
Okay.
All right? Rick Spielman, general manager, Minnesota Vikings. Ben Lieber sticks around. We are at Vikings minicamp for the